Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily, mightily, mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord has so much to say to his people because he loves us so much. And his words are for us. He comes with healing in his wings. He loves us so much. And all that he does, when we stand before the Lord in heaven, all that he does, all of his actions, is towards helping us understand. The move of the Holy Spirit on earth is working together with people to get them healed, to get us to grow and progress so we can help others, so we can be blessed. The Lord leaves nothing out. Sometimes people think that the Lord comes to us with one focus. Just get my people saved, and there's no concern about your welfare and how you live. And then sometimes people think, well, God wants us to bless, and they focus on the blessing. And they ignore the others. And some focus on ministry. And they want God to grow the church or the ministry. But it's not that way with God. God loves everybody, and he thinks of all things. He considers everything. And the things I learned as I went in his presence and to follow him, I didn't just go in his presence to learn of him. I went in his presence to enjoy his presence, to learn of him, to get help to do his will. And at first I just wanted to know him, and I wanted to know him. That was the main reason that I went in his presence. But from there, I learned things that I couldn't learn any other way. And it brought me back to a balance of life. And with God, everything works together. Everything, whatever you need, you can receive. You don't have to be in any form of lack with God. Sometimes people, in the 80s, people were focusing on things that they could attain, how they could be blessed, how they could have more, better jobs, better homes, better ministries, more money in their pocket, and things like that. But I was focusing on what I could learn from it. As a child, I wanted to know how things work, and I believe God put that in me for a reason. But I want to know him, and I learned that he's very wise. And if you follow him, he'll show you the simple way to win souls, the best way to prosper. And the word of God is written and structured a certain way. Ecclesiastes, it says, if a man, there's a man who works night and day, he has no son or brother, but there's no end to his labor. And he was showing that you can overdo it. Overworking is not good. It ought to have a purpose. Take time, and it talks about, and Ecclesiastes talks about, there's nothing better for a man to enjoy the fruit of his labor. God doesn't leave joy out of your life. The Proverbs talk about enjoying the wife of your youth. The everyday blessings that people ignore, trying to attain things, trying to attain more, trying to grow a ministry, and trying to corral people into doing their will. And all these concerns are easily met when we seek the Lord and follow him. And I'm learning things like that, and I wanted to share it with others, but the focus was too strong on what they were doing. If our focus is on, if it's on the Lord and yielding to him, all those things will be added anyway. And see, the way the word is written, look at what's multiplied to you, the blessings of God, the things of God, the knowledge, the wisdom, character building things. All those things are multiplied to you. The word of God is multiplied to you. But things are added. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added, not multiplied. Money comes to you over time. In business, I make large sums of money sometimes, but when I do all my works, my bills, my books, everything, you'll be surprised at where all that money went. You prosper over time. You don't prosper all at once. When you're doing your daily responsibilities, you're able to do it, but you prosper over time. The Word of God is written that way. And if you try to rush it, you're going to worry yourself. And the Word teaches that, but people didn't teach that. Now, when you seek the Lord and for his wisdom, when you seek him first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, I don't want to just receive from God. I want to do his will. I want to live like he does. I want to love people like he loves people. And it takes effort. It takes getting to know him. I want to be truthful. I don't want to try so hard to do something that I become cunning. All these things happen. If you're trying to do something too, if you focus too much, the devil gets involved. If once you add fear, doubt, or unbelief, Satan is now attached to whatever you're doing. And I know this. I learned it. I didn't learn it because it was revealed over time. Anyway, God revealed things like that. But when you focus on him, you stay pure and you grow in a pure way of life. And all the efforts you're trying to put forth, the Lord can easily meet the needs of others with your anointing. Especially when you yield. In yielding, you have to make adjustments all the time. Necessary adjustments. See, the anointing, it works where it's sent. It can be dormant where it's not sent because the people won't turn it on. They have no use for it. They have no desire for it. The Lord will take you to where people will hear the most, the hot spots. And sometimes it's a short time, sometimes it's a long time, sometimes it's till Jesus come. But he'll show you where your hot spot. A man can't show you that. But, you know, modern traditional ministry, you go to Bible college, you get an education, and then you put resumes in, and wherever you land is the will of God. That's not the way it was in Acts. They went in prayer. And they sought the Lord about what to do, when to do it, how to do it. And the Lord would send them. And he'd pair off those that worked together the best. One time he sent Paul and Barnabas. Another time he sent Paul and Silas. And then Mark joined them. God is wise. He thinks of all things. And when they went out, they were one. They operated as one. And they did the work of God. And I remember he said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul and Paul. So Barnabas was first. Now, look, God thinks of all things and he does things for a reason. He does things in honesty and with purpose. And when you operate under the order that he set, it works perfect. But if you operate in the order that you set, it's not perfect because it's not by might nor by power, but by his spirit. So if you try to use your wit or other people's wit, the council's wit, it's not going to, God can bless what we supply him with. He will use it for his greater purposes. But if you yield totally, you're giving him more to work with. And the Holy Spirit is wise. He can get the job done one way or another. But if the church ever get to the point where, Lord, I'm going to do this because you said do it. I'm going to follow you because you said follow me. I'm going to preach what you give me to preach. You're in a greater position to learn things you can't learn. Now, if you say, if you write you out an outline, a scriptural outline. It's scriptural all day long. It's the word of God. I'm gonna teach the people healing. I'm gonna teach them faith. I'm gonna teach them authority. And you do it in your order. All right. That's good, but it's not best, because God knows what the people need now. He'll get to all those things, but he has a strategy. You can't know the people like God does. And you can't, and your strategy is nowhere near as good as God's. And if he revealed it, it's good. It's as good. It came from him. But if you did it on your own, and this sounds crazy, but the Lord had, you know, he had me to tell people to follow him. He's going to give you the format. Follow his format. But people had it. They were focused. They had a regimen. They wouldn't budge. One preacher, the Lord told me to tell him, he said, preach the message God give you. Don't preach the one that you wrote. And he heard the word. A few weeks later, he came back and said, man, that word you gave me came to pass. The Lord gave me a message, but I was going to preach the one I wrote. And my pastor said, you're not going to preach today. I'm going to preach today, and you'll preach next time. And the pastor got up there and preached the message God gave him. I said, man, don't never forget that. If you yield to the Lord, you're going to learn a lot. But men can be so stubborn. People can be stubborn because, remember, I'm not being ugly. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be messy. Whatever's in our heart, that's what we're going to do. It doesn't matter who said do something, even God. Now, if the Lord come to me with an instruction to follow him, and I'm bent on doing it my way, I know, I learned this from him, that I got to change what's in my heart, or I will not follow him. I know this. I've been through this before. That's when you labor in prayer. And you pray till you change your opinion. Changing what's inside your heart is not the easiest thing in the world to do. Even, you know, if your will is stronger in your heart than his will is, you're going to do your will. So that's why that's where Gideon was at. He had to be certain that God called him. And he was not certain. So he did. He asked the Lord, I'm the least of the tribe. And the Lord told him to get rid of his daddy's sin, his idols. He did that. And he was working towards it and learning and growing. Then he said, Lord, if you're going to use me to deliver Israel, make this fleece be dry in the ground wet. Let the ground be wet and the fleece be dry. And it happened. And then the Lord gave him instruction. And just before the battle, he said, if you be afraid to go down, go and listen to what the men over there. There were men and soldiers in the field, the enemy. And one of them had a dream that a barley cake rolled down and tore up the camp. And the other guy said, this is nothing but Gideon. And it encouraged him. That's when he locked in. He got courage to do the weirdest battle. You know, the battle of Gideon is the weirdest battle in the whole Bible. Even the wall of Jericho, they had to march around it 7 days and not say a word and then shout, and the walls fell down. Now, that's weird by itself. But what Gideon did, he surrounded the enemy with 300 men with pitchers of oil, and they were lit. And they had trumpets, no weapons. And they broke the pitchers, and they could see the light. And then they blew the trumpet, and the enemy killed each other and scattered. God loves us. And in order to follow him, you're going to have to come to the point where you will obey him, even if he tell you to surround 50,000 in an army with 300 men and pitchers and trumpets. You're going to have to say, if the Lord says go to Springville and start a ministry, you're going to have to set it in your heart, I'm going to Springville and start a ministry. And everybody going to say, why are you going to Springville? Because the Lord told me. Are you sure the Lord told you? You're going to go through all this drama, and it's going to work against your heart. Even if you set your heart to do it, people are going to try to talk you out of it. Well, why not go to Jasper? I know a man that's got a church down there, and they're looking for a pastor in Jasper. People are not the only way you can get on board with God. You have to go in prayer. You have to go in his presence. And you have to be able to stick with what God said, the visions he showed you, the dreams he give you. That's your guidance. And when people get dreams and visions and they still do otherwise, they listen to somebody else. They're trying to build their ministry by might and by power instead of by his spirit. And it gets in the heart. Now, your focus. Sometimes people are focused on things the way that they see fit. Well, Pastor so-and-so didn't do it this way. Pastor Honorable didn't do it this way. The teacher at the seminary said, do it this way. You fill out resumes, and they're trying to go by their format. See, this has been going on for years, hundreds of years. People have been doing it their way. And you know, when America was being built, it kind of worked out because it was better than nothing. But people who love, you know, when you go in the Lord's presence, he already prepared you a certain way. He designed you for whatever he has planned for you. There's a design in you with it. He has something for you to do. It's specific. That's where your anointing is going to work. That's where you're going to learn the most. That's where you're going to be affected. And that's where you're going to face your greatest challenges, because Satan wants to bully you out of God's perfect will. See, a man can win a lot of souls trying it his way. Over time, he can win some souls. But he's not going to be as happy because he's doing something that he's not designed for. If I was traditional, I'd be a pastor somewhere and I wouldn't be happy because God wanted me to do this and he designed me for what I'm doing now. And even if I was happy, I wouldn't be as happy as I am now. And I'd still be grudgingly doing the will that I thought was all right. I wouldn't know half the things I know now, or even close to half the things I know, because I learned things. You know, you can learn a lot more in obedience if you're focused on the Lord and what he wants to do. Then when it's weird to me, I say, well, Lord, why are you doing it that way? Then he answered my questions, and sometimes he showed me. Now, when I first started, I thought people would easily adjust and follow God like the Lord was showing me. But they didn't. Very few people did. Very few. And hopefully some of them did it over time. But most of them went their own way, and then the Lord went on, you know, had me to move on. He was looking for people that would follow. Now, I'm not saying these things lightly. I had dreams and visions about people, what was happening. I had one dream about a pastor. The Lord said, you can't help him. And he had me to move on. And he gave me a dream with it. And it was a machine, a room, had all kind of belts and pulleys. And I was trying to figure it out, and I almost did. And he and his brother made it even more confusing. And And that's when the Lord told me that. Then on the History Channel, I saw that machine, that room. It was a windmill. It was the workings inside the windmill. It had all leather belts and pulleys. I told my wife, I said, that's what I saw in that dream. When the Lord showed me, I can't help him. And I remember the other things the Lord said would happen if he followed him. And then I said, what about that, Lord? You said he'd do this. And he said he wasted too much training time. So he wasted too much. Other pastors did the same thing. I'm not saying these things lightly. The Lord was working with me for real. Now, if we follow his plan, we're designed for it. He prepared us for it. We'll have knowledge. The people will be receptive, and with that, it doesn't always look like it. When people follow God, when you read the book of Acts, a lot of people got saved and stayed saved, and they were blessed. You can tell that by the seven churches that Jesus wrote to. Some churches he had to rebuke. Two of them he didn't even have to rebuke. And four of them, some of them had to make adjustments. And the last one, if it didn't get right, it was going to go out of business. Lord said, bow me, go. Work for me. Do my work. Stop doing your works. Laodicea. Bow me gold. Do it for real. Follow me now. Do something I can bless. Stop doing. It's hard to get all this stuff out of your heart. I'm not saying it's not easy, but that's when you go in labor. You labor in prayer. When you disagree with God, you labor in prayer till you get it right. And then you're in agreement. And once you're in agreement, you become dedicated. You become dedicated. You'll withstand all the contrariness that's coming your way. Because the enemy is going to try to bully you back into your will that you're comfortable with. And God's going to try to bless you, take you forward, give you something that will really work. And you can't see everybody you bless. So you can't, if your focus is on the success of the ministry, it's going to be aggravating. But if you focus on the heart of his will, I'm doing this because God said, I'm preaching this outline because God gave it. I'm preaching it on time. I'm staying within the strategy of God, not my own strategy. I can't see all the purpose of it, but I'm doing it by my faith because I trust him. That's all God wants. If you can do that, enjoy your life. Enjoy your everyday blessings. Enjoy your everyday opportunities. Enjoy your wife. Enjoy your children. See, you got to believe in the work that you're doing. If you stop believing in it, you'll stop. You'll quit. You'll try to run hide. But if you love, if you have pure faith in what God said do, and if you trust him, you're going to grow and graduate. You're going to grow and graduate in the will of God. And over time, you'll see why God said do it this way. And people are growing all the time. When people are growing in the Lord, they don't look like it. It's not obvious. You have to be God to know how people grow. If God is happy, you be happy. And remember, ministry is not just designed to get people saved. It also let God know where people are. He give them light. If they respond to it faithfully, they love God. If they start rebelling, they don't love God. When you present people with the light, without compromise, and formats of men, you grow. You prosper. You challenge people. Just like it was a challenge to you, it's a challenge to people to grow. Oh, I'm out of time. But the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life. Till next time, remember, God loves you. Jesus truly loves you. His return is soon. And Jesus is Lord.